comments on the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, the keynote of victory. The first chapter of 2 Peter is full of instruction and strikes the keynote of victory. The truth is impressively forced upon the mind by the way it is presented in this chapter. Let us more abundantly recommend the study of these words and the practicing of these precepts. Letter 43, 1895, verses 1 to 3, no standstill in the Christian life. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What a grand theme this is for contemplation, the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Contemplating Christ and his righteousness leaves no room for self-righteousness, for the glorifying of self. In this chapter there is no standstill. There is continual advancement in every stage of the knowledge of Christ. Letter 43, 1895. Verse 4, God behind all his promises. Promises are estimated by the truth of the one who makes them. Many men make promises only to break them, to mock the heart that trusted in them. Those who lean upon such men lean upon broken reeds. But God is behind the promises he makes. He is ever mindful of his covenant, and his truth endureth to all generations. Manuscript 23, 1899. Partakers of the divine nature, we must learn of Christ. We must know what he is to those he has ransomed. We must realize that through belief in him, it is our privilege to be partakers of the divine nature and to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then we are cleansed from all sin, all defects of character. We need not retain one sinful propensity. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:1-6. As we partake of the divine nature, hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong are cut away from the character, and we are made a living power for good, ever learning of the divine teacher, daily partaking of his nature. We cooperate with God in overcoming Satan's temptations. God works and man works, that man may be one with Christ as Christ is one with God. Then we sit together with Christ in heavenly places. The mind rests with peace and assurance in Jesus. Review and Herald, April 24, 1900. The enabling grace of God. In his word, God reveals what he can do for human beings. He molds and fashions after divine similitude the characters of those who will wear his yoke. Through his grace, they are made partakers of the divine nature and are thus enabled to overcome the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is God who gives us power to overcome. Those who hear his voice and obey his commandments are enabled to form righteous characters. Those who disregard his expressed commands will form characters like the propensities that they indulge. Letter 44, 1903. One with God. It is a knowledge of the perfection of the divine character manifested to us in Jesus Christ that opens up to us communion with God. It is by appropriating the great and precious promises that we are to become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What possibilities are opened up to the youth who lay hold of the divine assurances of God's Word? Scarcely can the human mind comprehend what is the breadth and depth and height of the spiritual attainments that can be reached by becoming partakers of the divine nature. The human agent who daily yields obedience to God, who becomes a partaker of the divine nature, finds pleasure daily in keeping the commandments of God, for he is one with God. It is essential that he hold as vital a relation with God as does a son to the Father. He understands the oneness that Christ prayed might exist between the Father and the Son. Letter 43, 1895, verses 5 to 7. Graces to grow up together. We are to add to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You are not to think that you must wait until you have perfected one grace before cultivating another. No, they are to grow up together, fed continually from the fountain of charity. Every day that you live, you can be perfecting the blessed attributes fully revealed in the character of Christ. And when you do this, you will bring light, love, peace, and joy into your homes. Review and Herald, July 29, 1890. Verses 5 to 11, daily diligence needed. Temptation must be met and resisted. Day by day, the spiritual battle goes on. Day by day, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God that works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Every soul is to strive with all diligence to add constantly to his spiritual attainments, strengthening every grace, increasing in efficiency, that he may grow in usefulness and holiness as a fruit-bearing tree in the Lord's garden. He is to be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. True religion leads to the cultivation of the gifts that make a man more precious in God's sight than the gold of Ophir. All diligence means much. It means a daily diligence. There is danger that we shall be blind in regard to the working of satanic agencies, and that we shall be ensnared by Satan's alluring temptations. Therefore, the word comes to us, giving all diligence, add to your character the graces that will make you strong to resist evil. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He does not realize his spiritual poverty. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Letter 144, 1903. Verse 6, temperance precedes patience. And a temperance patience. An intemperate man can never be a patient man. Temperance comes first, and then patience. Manuscript 49, 1891. Verse 10, election price paid for all. There could be no such thing as one not prepared for heaven entering heaven. There is no such thing as a human being sanctified and fitted for the heavenly kingdom not having an election to that kingdom. God elects those who have been working on the plan of addition. The explanation is given in the first chapter of 2 Peter. For every human being, Christ has paid the election price. No one need be lost. All have been redeemed. To those who receive Christ as a personal Savior will be given power to become the sons and daughters of God. An eternal life insurance policy has been provided for all. Whom God elects, Christ redeems. The Savior has paid the redemption price for every soul. We are not our own, for we are bought with a price from the Redeemer, who from the foundation of the world has chosen us. We receive the insurance policy that entitles us to eternal life. Letter 53, 1904. election within our reach. There is the election of God on the condition of practice, and there is no other election in the Bible. Election is within our reach. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Verses 10 and 11, the best life insurance. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Here are your life insurance papers. This is not an insurance policy, the value of which someone else will receive after your death. It is a policy that assures you a life measuring with the life of God, even eternal life. Oh, what an assurance, what a hope. Let us ever reveal to the world that we are seeking for a better country, even a heavenly. Heaven has been made for us, and we want a part in it. We cannot afford to allow anything to separate us from God and heaven. In this life, we must be partakers of the divine nature. Brethren and sisters, you have only one life to live. Oh, let it be a life of virtue, a life hid with Christ in God. Review and Herald, May 26, 1904. Benefits secured by the elect. It depends upon your course of action as to whether or not you will secure the benefits bestowed upon those who, as the elect of God, receive an eternal life insurance policy. Manuscript 81, 1900. Verse 21. Inspiration of the Bible writers. God committed the preparation of His divinely inspired Word to finite man. This Word, arranged into books, the Old and New Testament, is a guidebook to the inhabitants of a fallen world, bequeathed to them that by studying and obeying the directions, not one soul would lose its way to heaven. Those who think to make the supposed difficulties of Scripture plain in measuring by their finite rule that which is inspired and that which is not inspired had better cover their faces as Elijah when the still small voice spoke to him, for they are in the presence of God and holy angels who for ages have communicated to men light and knowledge, telling them what to do and what not to do, unfolding before them scenes of thrilling interest, waymark by waymark in symbols and signs and illustrations. And he has not, while presenting the perils clustering about the last days, qualified any finite man to unravel hidden mysteries, or inspired one man or any class of men to pronounce judgment as to what to that which is inspired or is not. When men in their finite judgment find it necessary to go into an examination of Scriptures to define that which is inspired and that which is not, they have stepped before Jesus to show Him a better way than He has led us. I take the Bible just as it is, as the inspired Word. I believe its utterances in the entire Bible. Simplicity and plain utterance are comprehended by the illiterate, by the peasant and the child, as well as by the full-grown man or the giant in intellect. If the individual is possessed of large talents of mental power, he will find in the oracles of God treasures of truth, beautiful and valuable, which he can appropriate. He will also find difficulties and secrets and wonders, which will give him the highest satisfaction to study during a long lifetime, and yet there is an infinity beyond. Men of humble acquirements, possessing but limited capabilities and opportunities to become conversant in the Scriptures, find in the living oracles comfort, guidance, counsel, and the plan of salvation as clear as a sunbeam. No one need be lost for want of knowledge unless he is willfully blind. We thank God that the Bible is prepared for the poor man as well as for the learned man. It is fitted for all ages and all classes. Manuscript 16, 1888. The writers of the Bible had to express their ideas in human language. It was written by human men. These men were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Because of the imperfections of human understanding of language, or the perversity of the human mind, ingenious in evading truth, many read and understand the Bible to please themselves. It is not that the difficulty is in the Bible. Opposing politicians argue points of law in the statute book and take opposite views in their application and in these laws. The Scriptures were given to man not in a continuous chain of unbroken utterances, but piece by piece through successive generations, as God in His providence saw a fitting opportunity to impress man at sundry times and diverse places. Men wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. There is first the bud, then the blossom, and next the fruit. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. This is exactly what the Bible utterances are to us. There is not always perfect order or apparent unity in the Scriptures. The miracles of Christ are not given in exact order, but are given just as the circumstances occurred, which call for this divine revealing of the power of Christ. The truths of the Bible are as pearls hidden. They must be searched, dug out by painstaking effort. Those who take only a surface view of the Scriptures will, with their superficial knowledge, which they think is very deep, talk of the contradictions of the Bible and question the authority of the Scriptures. But those whose hearts are in harmony with truth and duty will search the Scriptures with a heart prepared to receive divine impressions. The illuminated soul sees a spiritual unity, one grand golden thread running through the whole, but it requires patience, thought, and prayer to trace out the precious golden thread. Sharp contentions over the Bible have led to investigation and yield the precious jewels of truth. Many tears have been shed, many prayers offered that the Lord would open the understanding to His Word. The Bible is not given to us in grand superhuman language. Jesus, in order to reach men where He is, took humanity. The Bible must be given in the language of men. Everything that is human is imperfect. Different meanings are expressed for the same word. There is not one word for each distinct idea. The Bible was given for practical purposes. The stamps of mind are different. All do not understand expressions and statements alike. Some understand the statements of the Scriptures to suit their own particular minds and cases. Prepossessions, prejudices, and passions have a strong influence to darken the understanding and confuse the mind even in reading the words of Holy Writ. The Bible is written by inspired men, but it is not God's mode of thought and expression. It is that of humanity. God as a writer is not represented. Men will often say such an expression is not like God, but God has not put Himself in words, in logic, in rhetoric, on trial in the Bible. The writers of the Bible were God's penmen, not His pen. Look at the different writers. It is not the words of the Bible that are inspired, but the men that were inspired. Inspiration acts not on the man's words or his expressions, but on the man himself, who under the influence of the Holy Ghost is imbued with thoughts. But the words receive the impress of the individual mind. The divine mind is diffused. The divine mind and will is combined with the human mind and will. Thus the utterances of the man are the Word of God. Manuscript 24, 1886. Finite vehicles of thought. The Lord speaks to human beings in imperfect speech in order that the degenerate senses, the dull earthly perceptions of earthly beings may comprehend His words. Thus is shown God's condescension. He meets fallen human beings where they are. The Bible, perfect as it is in its simplicity, does not answer to the great ideas of God. But infinite ideas cannot be perfectly embodied in finite vehicles of thought. Instead of the expressions of the Bible being exaggerated, as many people suppose, the strong expressions break down before the magnificence of the thought. Though the penman selected the most expressive language through which to convey the truths of higher education, sinful beings can only bear to look upon a shadow of the brightness of heaven's glory. Letter 121, 1901. Chapter 3, verse 9. The boundary of divine forbearance. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but His forbearance has a limit. And when the boundary is passed, there is no second probation. His wrath will go forth, and He will destroy without remedy. When men, being in power, oppress and spoil their fellow men, and no earthly tribunal can be found to do justice, God will interpose in behalf of those who cannot defend themselves. He will punish for every act of oppression. No earthly wisdom can secure wrongdoers against the judgments of heaven. And when men put their trust in earthly powers instead of their Maker, when they become lifted up in pride and self-confidence, God will in His own time make them to be despised. Letter 122, 1900. Verse 10. God, the refuge of His people. Before the Son of Man appears in the clouds of heaven, everything in nature will be convulsed. Lightning from heaven, uniting with the fire in the earth, will cause the mountains to burn like a furnace and pour out their floods of lava over villages and cities. Molten masses of rock thrown into the water by the upheaval of things hidden in the earth will cause the water to boil and send forth rocks and earth. There will be mighty earthquakes and great destruction of human life. But as in the days of the great deluge, Noah was preserved in the ark that God had prepared for him, so in these days of destruction and calamity, God will be the refuge of His believing ones. Because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation, there shall no evil befall Thee, neither shall any plague come nigh Thy dwelling. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 91, 9 and 10 and 27, 5. Letter 258, 1907. Destruction from earth and sky. The hand of omnipotence is at no loss for ways and means to accomplish His purposes. He could reach into the bowels of the earth and call forth His weapons, waters there concealed to aid in the destruction of the corrupt inhabitants of the old world. Water will never destroy the earth again, but the weapons of God are concealed in the bowels of the earth, which He will draw forth to unite with the fire from heaven to accomplish His purpose in the destruction of all those who would not receive the message of warning and purify their souls in obeying the truth and being obedient to the laws of God. Signs of the Times, January 3, 1878. Destruction by fire, water and fire. In the bowels of the earth, God has in reserve the weapons that He will use to destroy the sinful race. Since the flood, God has used to destroy wicked cities both the water and the fire that are concealed in the earth. In the final conflagration, God will in His wrath send lightning from heaven that will unite with the fire in the earth. The mountains will burn like a furnace and pour forth streams of lava. Verse 18, Divine Law of Impartation. It is the Lord's desire that His followers shall grow in grace, that their love shall abound more and more, that they shall be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise and glory of God. One of the divine plans for growth is impartation. The Christian is to gain strength by strengthening others. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. This is not merely a promise, it is a divine law, a law by which God designs that the streams of benevolence, like the waters of the great deep, shall be kept in constant circulation, continually flowing back to their source. In the fulfilling of this law is the secret of spiritual growth. Signs of the Times, June 12, 1901. Sanctification, a continual growth in grace. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:14-18. There is no Bible sanctification for those who cast a part of the truth behind them. Sanctification is not the work of a moment, an hour, or a day. It is a continual growth in grace. We know not one day how strong will be our conflict the next. Satan lives and is active, and every day we need to earnestly cry to God for help and strength to resist him. As long as Satan reigns, we shall have self to subdue, besetments to overcome, and there is no stopping place. There is no point to which we can come and say we have fully attained. Review and Herald, May 6, 1862. A connection with the channel of light. How is it possible that we may grow in grace? It is possible to us only as we empty our hearts of self and present them to heaven to be molded after the divine pattern. We may have a connection with the living channel of light. We may be refreshed with the heavenly dew and have the showers of heaven descend upon us. As we appropriate the blessing of God, we shall be able to receive greater measures of His grace. As we learn to endure as seeing Him who is invisible, we shall become changed into the image of Christ. The grace of Christ will not make us proud, cause us to be lifted up in self, but we shall become meek and lowly in heart. Signs of the Times, January 16, 1893.